Effective Living with Reverend Henry Hubert. May you be blessed as you listen. Now, the message. Lord, you
made a way. I want to teach briefly on what I title Activating the Resurrection Power. So let's go to the book of Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." In this scripture, we see Jesus telling the disciples something very, very important. In fact, what Jesus was telling the disciples represents the very reason why Jesus came to the earth, why he was born, why he came to die, pay the price, save mankind from sin, but also to resurrect because death couldn't hold him. So Jesus was trying to tell the disciples. He did not tell them this immediately he met them. He taught them many things, and getting to the time of his death, he didn't want them to be overtaken by surprise. So he told them, he said, "When we get to Jerusalem, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to be killed. And on the third day, I'll be raised to life." This didn't make sense to all of them. But one of them decided to take him on and rebuke him. Most of the times, if people don't understand you, they always treat you like you don't have sense, especially if God put you in some places of responsibility and leadership. There are people who get carried away with so much familiarity that they can easily begin to think you don't have sense. Most of the time, leaders are misunderstood. There are people every now and then who think they know better than everybody, and you can be amazed that Peter rebuked Jesus. Nobody didn't say he advised him or he rebuked him. Of course, later on, you'll find this same Peter arguing with Jesus. That when Jesus says, "All of you betray me," Peter said, "No, minus me." You know, and Jesus said, "Peter, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said, "You are a liar. This can never happen." He argued vehemently, and yet it happened to him. There comes a time when you begin to mature, when you learn to respect the opinions of people ahead of you. Even if it doesn't make sense to you, you must come to the place where if somebody is ahead of you, it is not everything he does or says you will understand, but you need to make sense of it some way, somehow. I think the disciples should have taken time to say, "Jesus, why are you saying this? Can you explain this thing to us?" But their mind wasn't ready to really comprehend. They couldn't imagine Jesus being killed, being arrested, because they saw how powerful he was. And it also looks like all they heard was that Jesus was going to be killed. I think Peter rebuked Jesus because Jesus said he was going to be killed. But Jesus didn't only say he was going to be killed. He also said, "I will be raised on the third day." That part of the statement, it looks like they never heard it. Immediately, the disciples had issues with what Jesus said. You know, their leader, Peter, of course, you know, began to rebuke Jesus. But why did Jesus say this? Because you become what you say. Why did Jesus have to say this? Because your life is a result of what you believe and what you say about yourself. If you go to the book of Matthew 27, you realize that it is not only the disciple Jesus said this to. He said it in a lot of places. If you go to Matthew 27, verse 62, the Bible said that even the Pharisees knew that Jesus had said he's going to be killed and on the third day he's going to rise. On the next day, which followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will arise.'" So Jesus' declaration about his future was not something he did quietly, silently. He did it both privately and publicly. He wanted everybody to know how his life was going to become.
He wanted to predict. So the people called him deceiver, but at least they heard what he said, that one day I'm going to be killed, but on the third day, I will. So the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday was first preceded by declarations, utterances, statements that Jesus made to that effect. And I want to say something. You know, you can't say anything about yourself after you are dead. So say it now. Jesus didn't wait till he was dead before he started saying, I'll rise, I'll rise, I'll rise. No, he said it before he died. So what he said had to come to pass because he said it. Now, did anybody believe what he said? No. In fact, look at what the chief priests and the Pharisees said. They said, this deceiver. That means everything he said sounded like a lie to them. So your future has nothing to do with what others believe about you. Your future has everything to do with what you believe about yourself. Isn't that the good news? I want to tell you that no one can create your future for you except yourself. Jesus didn't care that people didn't believe what he was saying, but Jesus cared that what he believed and said is what will happen. The book of Mark, chapter 16, from verse 4. But when they looked up, they saw that a stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. What did they do when they heard of the resurrection? They didn't believe it. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. So even after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to people, Mary Magdalene. Then he appeared to two of the disciples who were on the road to Emmaus. Then the other women who went to the tomb to go and embalm him, and they went to meet an angel. The angel told them, go and tell Peter and the rest that have risen. You see, even the disciples on Easter Sunday morning did not believe that Jesus had risen. What does that tell you? Look at verse 14. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. And what did Jesus do? He rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He rebuked them because they did not believe. Now, this tells you and I that every time he told them that when he is killed, he will rise from the third day, they never believed it. So I'm saying Jesus' disciples didn't believe that he could rise from the dead, even though he said it. The chief priests, the Pharisees didn't believe, so they called him a liar. But what happened on Easter Sunday morning? He rose from the dead. In spite of the fact that they did not believe in him, he rose. So what lesson do we learn from here? Simple. Don't wait until everybody believes in you. Your future is in your ability to know who you are in Christ, what God's plans concerning your life is. Believe it, declare it, and expect it to happen. Your future is in knowing who you are as a child of God. Understand what God's plan and purposes concerning your life is. And when you do that, believe it, declare it, and expect it to come to pass. If Jesus was waiting for everybody to believe that what his life was about death and resurrection, Jesus would have made a terrible mistake. The problem with many people today is that many Christians want people to validate them before they can be happy. If you want people to say you are somebody, if you want people to treat you like somebody before you become a happy person, you will never be happy in your life. Your whole life will be controlled by other people's opinion about you. I want to say that if you are a child of God, there's something great about you, irrespective of what people's opinion about you is. The day Jesus comes into your life becomes special. It doesn't matter who believes in you. It doesn't matter who likes you. It doesn't matter who thinks you are going somewhere or you amount to anything. Jesus coming into your life makes your life extraordinary. Jesus said it this way in John 3 from verse 8. He said, the wind blows where it likes. You can hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it's coming from, where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. If you are born again, your life is not ordinary. Your life is extraordinary. The next surprise, anywhere you find yourself, irrespective of who doesn't like you, irrespective of who doesn't think you can amount to anything, irrespective of what people think about you. Because most of the time, where you are going in life, nobody will believe in it. Most of the time. Today, I want to say to somebody, most of the time, people won't believe in who you truly are, where you are going in life, what you are going to become. People won't believe it. The sad one is sometimes it starts with the closest people to you. And that even the disciples of Jesus didn't believe what he said, but he told them, I will be killed. I will rise on the third day. They didn't believe it. The Pharisees, I mean, make mockery of it. You know, there are things when you say it about yourself, people will just laugh. But don't let the laughter stop you from saying it. That is why you must be convinced about who you are and say it anyway. There are many things that God has spoken to you about your life. There are many things that you know about your destiny that people will find reason and many ways to make you stop saying it. But you see, there is something powerful about what you say that render what others say about you useless. But what is our challenge today as Christians is that we are more concerned about what people say about us. We are so overwhelmed with what people say about us. We are only responding to what people say about us. And we are always listening to what people are saying about us. In fact, even if we can't hear it, we are trying to go and find out what are people saying about us. And we are not saying anything about ourselves because if you get closer to God, what God wants to do in your life is to let you know who you are, where you are going, and what your future is. When God tells you, the first thing you need to do is believe it. Declare it. They can laugh at you, declare it. They can call you names, declare it. You know, anybody that God worked with, he's very particular about what they say about themselves. When God met Abraham, God said to Abraham, change your name. From today, don't call yourself Abraham. Call yourself Abraham. Abraham said, God, are you sure about this? God said, yes. Abraham said, God, are you very sure about this? Abraham means father of nations. And at the time they called Abraham, he did not have a child. Even if you don't have a child, they call you father. That one is, people will talk. People will laugh secretly. But now to change your name into Abraham, it makes you a more mockery study. But that is how God deals with people. If God wants to make you great, he will first tell you. And he will expect you to first believe it and begin to declare it and begin to expect it. The first thing Satan will do to fight your greatness is to make you stop saying about yourself what God has spoken to you. Is to make you stop believing in what God has said to you about your future. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21. It says that death and life are where in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruits. The power of the tongue has the ability to produce fruits. That means the words that you speak, they are seeds you sow into your future. You know, the future is a womb that conceives the words of our mouth. The sad thing that I've realized about life is there's nobody who says negative things about himself and people will say, stop it. People are very happy when you say negative things about yourself. When you say, oh, well, you know, can't amount to anything. Looking at the way my life has been and where I'm coming from. Well, we just manage ourselves day by day until we die and that's the end. You won't have too much problems with people when you talk like that. But when you start talking like, you know, my life is not ordinary. God has a great plan for my life. I believe I will not remain like this forever. I believe that my present circumstance is temporary, that there are greater things ahead of me. I believe that I'm going to be a global influencer and I'll be a mover and a shaker and I will do great things in my lifetime. I'll be a reference for my generation. When you start talking like that, people will say, hey, wait. And they'll tell you things like, the fact that somebody is saying it doesn't mean you should also say it too. They'll find reasons to neutralize you, to dilute what you said and create your reality to you. The devil himself will have ways. But Jesus said what he said and he ignored the opinions of people. the resurrection happened in spite of what people believed and expected. In fact, the day Jesus died, everybody thought that was his end. The Pharisees thought that was his end. The disciples thought that is finished. So what people think about you is not final. And you are here today, there are people who think this is your end. But I came to tell you it's not your end. There are people who look at you and the way they talk, they are not saying it directly, but the way they talk, indirectly, are trying to tell you that you are finished. But God sent me to tell you, you are not finished yet. In fact, you have not even started yet. You have not started yet. What people think about you is not final. And so don't let what people think about you control you. Don't let what people say about you control you. Because that doesn't determine your future. What determines your future is what you believe about yourself and what you are saying about yourself. I have learned from this scripture that many people don't need to believe in you before you become great. Because Jesus, many people didn't believe in him. Read Mark chapter 6 from verse 1. His hometown, they did not believe in him. Yeah, they did not believe in him. His hometown did not believe in him. From verse 3. Is this not a carpenter? Yes, so that's Jesus. Jesus. He was once a carpenter. He was once a carpenter. This is not a, and the son of Mary, you know, they never call him the son of Joseph because they were not sure who his father was. So I came to tell you, maybe you're here, you don't even know your father, but you have a future. God has a great plan for your life. There are people I have spoken to in this church, prayed with, who don't know their father. It doesn't cancel the truth that God still have a great plan for your life. Maybe your father is nobody. He's a drunkard. He's a... Wherever you came from, whoever you are doesn't cancel. When Jesus comes into your life becomes extraordinary. The question is, do you believe it? Or you believe in what people are saying about you? I came to tell you, what people say about you doesn't determine your future. What people think about you is not final. What you think about yourself is the real issue. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Do you know why they were calling the names of his brothers? Because they were all nobodies. So sometimes when you wake up and you look all around you, there's nobody that is an encouragement from where you are coming from. Recently, I was talking to a pastor. And he said one of the challenges with his family is that people get mad every now and then. And he's determined to deal with the root of it before he dies. And I told him I'm very surprised because this man is a great man of God. In spite of where you are, the environment, you can break every limitations in your environment and rise to the highest height. If Jesus is in your life and you believe that you are not ordinary. So if all around you, maybe all your siblings, all your relatives, and nobody is anybody, maybe that's why God saved you and filled you with his spirit and gave you his power. So that starting with you, there can be a signal of hope in that family that you come from. That Jesus decided to be born into a poor family so that he can be the example for us. That where you start from cannot determine where you end. Where you start from must never determine where you end. And I declare over somebody's life that you will end better than you started. Amen. I said you will end better than you started. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You will never become what people predicted. I said you will never ever become what people predicted. Amen. You will become what God has purposed concerning your life. Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended. That's what happens when people close to you hear you start talking big. They get offended. Verse 4. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he lay hands on a few sick people and healed them. Jesus could not do many mighty work in Nazareth. Why? Because they did not believe in him. If you read the book of John chapter 7 verse 45, there's an interesting story there that you will come across. Maybe we should read John chapter 7 from verse 3 first. John 7 verse 3. His brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see that the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. Now, Jesus was staying in Nazareth. Nazareth was in a region in Israel called Galilee. The Galileans were poor people. They were only fishermen. Their cities were all around the lake that was called the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Gennesaret. They were poor people. And Nazareth was a village, actually, in Jesus' day. So Jesus was preaching around in Galilee from village to village. Crowds were following him. Then his brothers came and said, go to Judea. You know, Judea was the capital. That was where the great people are. That was where Jerusalem is. That's where the chief priests are. That's where the Sanhedrin is. That's the governing council and everything. So, you see, you can never be validated until you are validated in Judea. So his brothers, who didn't believe in him anyway, they said, I think you've stayed here long enough. You've made a lot of noise here enough. Go to Judea and show yourself there. And let's see how they handle you. Then we can tell if everything you are saying about yourself is true or not. You know, Jesus' own siblings, even at first, did not believe in him. It doesn't matter who doesn't believe in you. Let me tell you one truth. Most of the times, many people won't believe you are any match. Don't wait until everybody says you are somebody, because that day will never come. You wait till the day you die. Now, verse 45, same John chapter 7, verse 45. Then the chief officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. You know, they were sent to go and arrest Jesus. When the officers went and heard him, they came back and said, they sent soldiers to go arrest him. The soldiers came back and said, we can't arrest this guy. The guy, the way he talks, no man ever spoke like him. How do you talk? How do you talk? It matters how you talk, how you speak. Can you help me here? Tell your neighbor, city by side, that it matters a lot how you speak. Tell him again, talking positive is not pride. Tell him another thing. Talking negative is not humility. Go about saying, you know me, I'm nobody. I'm just a miserable person. I'm not. It doesn't mean you are humble. Talking negative doesn't mean you are humble. It means you are ignorant. The rules of engagement require that you will never become what you refuse to say. I'll say this again. You will never, ever become what you refuse to say. Anytime you come close to God, the first thing he wants to do for you is change what you say. The officers came and they did not testify about how he dressed, how he looked, because that doesn't determine your future. How long you spent in front of the mirror does not determine your future. Your hair style does not determine your future. Forgive me, all the ladies. The kind of phone you are using now does not determine what you become tomorrow. So when you spend 1 hour in front of the mirror and you say nothing positive about yourself, you are making your future a very miserable one. The only thing the officers said about Jesus was how he spoke. They said, nobody talk like this man. This man talks, you can't arrest him. His talking won't even permit you to arrest him. They have nothing, but they will talk you into respecting them. They have nothing, but they will talk you into giving them anything they want. Nobody spoke like this man. Let's continue. Then the Pharisees answered, are you also deceived? The Pharisees were asking their soldiers, you guys, we sent you to go and arrest somebody. We didn't send you to come and tell us progress report. Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? This is the question they were asking the soldiers. The Pharisees did not believe in him. The rulers, the governing council, they called them the Sanhedrin. They did not believe in Jesus. So listen. Okay, let's finish up. But this crowd that does not know the law is a curse. In other words, all the Galileans who were crowding after Jesus, they are cursed people. That is what the Pharisees said. They are cursed people. They are following a liar. They are following a deceiver. They are following somebody who is not the Son of God, lying that he's the Son of God, saying blah, 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 blah. Nicodemus, the one who came to Jesus by night. Remember Nicodemus? Being one of them. He was also a member of the Pharisee. And he went to Jesus by night because he knew that his colleagues would pick on him for going to Jesus. But somehow, Nicodemus came to believe in Jesus. If you read John 3, you will see that he believed in Jesus. But he couldn't make it public. That means Jesus was so resented that even if you believe in him, you can't declare it in certain quarters. What did Nicodemus say? Does our Lord judge a man before it hears him and knows what he's doing? They answered and said to him, are you also from Galilee? You know, it's the Galileans who believed in Jesus. The poor people, the commoners, they believed in Jesus. And today, our day and time, people may like you, but if they are poor, you don't feel great. Is it not true? Your confidence is in the circle that you walk in. That's why most of you will prefer to spend time with one rich person who doesn't like you than 10 poor people who are loyal to you and who love you for who you are. Nicodemus, are you also a Galilean? Because nobody in Judea believes in this guy. He said, he's a foolish, wretched liar. That's what they said about Jesus. And he said, search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee. As I close, all I want to say is, Jesus had to fight against resentment from the society that he worked in. Jesus had to fight against a systematic program that Satan created to discredit him, devalue him, to never believe in him. And if Jesus had listened to what people think about him, if Jesus had concerned himself with the opinion of people about him, he couldn't have done anything to save us. Today, the whole world is hailing Jesus and everything, but it was not so in his time. In his time, every day had to work against people who either didn't like him or they didn't believe in him or they criticized him every day. They find fault with him. Everything he did, they'll criticize it. Even if he healed people, they'll say, hey, it's a Sabbath. The healing, they put it aside. The Sabbath, they amplify it. Stop worrying about what people think about you, because that will never define your future. Stop bothering yourself about what people's opinion is about you. Start focusing on what God is saying about you. And every time you go to God, everything he will tell you about yourself is great. That is why it's important to spend time with God. You spend time with God. And everything he tells you, believe what he tells you more than what others say about you. And when you believe it, declare it. Because it will come to pass. Declare it. They may laugh at you, but it will come to pass. They may mock you, but it will come to pass. Declare what God has said about you. Declare what you believe in about your future. Don't bother about who is offended about what you say. Don't bother about who is criticizing what you say. Don't bother about what people say. No matter what they say about you. Believe in what God's purpose is concerning your life. Believe in what God has said about you. Declare it by faith and wait for God to bring it to pass. God is waiting for you to believe and speak what he has promised you so that he can bring it to pass. If you are waiting for people to believe in you and say, oh, you are good, oh, you are great, oh, you are this, oh, you are that, your whole life will be miserable. Because everything you do, somebody will talk about it. Somebody will talk about it. A man was going somewhere with his son, the bicycle. He put his son on the bicycle. As they were going, they met people, and people said, this man is a very foolish man. How can you put your son on a bicycle and you be walking? It's okay. He put his son on down, and he climbed the bicycle and asked his son to be pushing the bicycle. And then they go somewhere, and another person, people said, look at this wicked man. How can you be riding a bicycle and your son is walking? So he got down and said, okay, the two of us, let's push the bicycle. You will never be a happy person if people's opinion is what controls your life. You will never be happy. I'm not saying don't respect people, but they will still have issues with you. People will have issues with you. People will say what they want to say about you. People will do what they want to do about you. People will treat you the way they like, and there's nothing you can do about it. But you have a right to decide what people say about you, whether it should affect you or not affect you. You have a right to decide how people treat you, whether it should affect you or not affect you. You have a right to decide how people's actions and words affect you. That is the only thing you have power over. You have power over how you respond. And how do you respond? Ignore it. Because that doesn't determine your future. What determines your future is what you believe in and what you say. And I prophesy over your life today that a day will come in, the people who think you are nothing, they will come and celebrate your greatness. Yeah. There is only one way to prove people wrong when they think you are nothing. Is become something. Become somebody. Then you can prove them wrong. But don't go responding to what people say. Ignore it. Focus on your life. Believe in what God has said concerning your life. Believe in your future. Because you have a future. I said you have a future. Maybe this morning you woke up looking at your life, everything is negative, you don't know where life is taking you, you don't know where you are going in life, you don't know what tomorrow holds, but this morning God sent me to tell you, if Jesus is in your life, you have a great future, and that future does not depend on what people say, what people think, that future depends on what his plan and purpose concerning your life is. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, they are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, to give you an expected end. God has a great plan for your life. When Jesus comes into your life, the Bible says Christ in you is the hope of glory. If Jesus is in your life, there is hope for you. Whether you have money in your pocket today or no money in your pocket, there is hope for you. It doesn't matter the problem or the situation you are in now, there is hope for you, because the situation you are going through is temporary. It will come to an end. Beyond the situation you are in, there's a future, and that future is determined by God as he speaks to you and works with you to release the resurrection power. The resurrection power of Jesus begins to manifest when people believe in what God has said about them and they begin to speak it. As you speak it concerning your future, that I have a future. Somebody say, I have a future. Somebody say, this is not how I'll be forever. Somebody say, God has a great plan for my life. Somebody say, it doesn't matter where I am now. What matters is where I'm going. And where I'm going is better than where I am. Because Jesus is in my life. You know, the Bible said he will never fail you nor forsake you. No one that put his trust in him can ever be put to shame. When you put your trust in Jesus and you hold on to him and you follow him and you serve him, your life can never remain the same. It's only a matter of time. How long did Jesus stay in the grave? Only 3 days. How long did the devil rejoice over him? Only 3 days. How long did the people mock and laugh at him? Only 3 days. You know, he said it, that I will rise on the third day. They heard it, but they did not believe it. Did it come to pass or not? It came to pass. It doesn't matter what the people believe about you. God's plan concerning your life will come to pass. The devil can't stop the plan of God from coming to pass. I said the devil can't stop the plan of God from coming to pass. If it's of God, it will come to pass. I said if it's of God, it will come to pass. You know, I believe when Jesus died, he just relaxed himself. He died and he relaxed. Sometimes you can have problems and still relax. When you know the outcome, you should be able to relax. When you don't know the outcome, you become restless, you become anxious, you begin to panic. But Jesus, when he died, he relaxed. You know, the Pharisees did a lot to stop the resurrection. The Bible said that they went first to Pilate and said, we want you to put your seal on the tomb. Nobody should touch the tomb. Then they put guards, armed guards around the tomb. The third one is that they wrote a very large stone over the entrance. It's so large, it may take a lot of people to be able to push it. But Jesus didn't panic about the guards. He didn't panic about the stone. He didn't panic about the seal. You know, sometimes when you are close to your breakthroughs, things become more difficult. It's like now the devil has narrowed down on you. You know, sometimes when you wake up, it's like Satan has left everybody alone. And then he's just bothered about you. You see, anytime you find yourself in such a situation, you should know you are very close to a major breakthrough. Because if you don't believe that Jesus has the power to rise, why are you bothered about a God? If you know that this man is just a liar and that, he's dead and he's dead. He's dead and gone. Why do you worry about putting a seal over the tomb? Why do you worry about putting a large stone over the tomb? Why do you worry about putting guards there? It means that even though they were calling him liar and everything, they were still worried about the guy. You know, sometimes people mock you not because they actually don't believe that you are something. They just want to discourage you. Sometimes people can even believe that you are something, but they don't want to say it because they hate you. They hate you. Now, if they really believe that Jesus was dead and is final, they shouldn't have bothered about the tomb. But look at the way they guarded it. It means that they knew that, hey, the guy, despite everything, that's why we don't like him, but the guy is powerful. If we are not careful, something can happen. And something really happened. God is about to do a work in your life. It will put all your enemies to shame. It will make your enemies so disgraced. They will hide their faces. You know, there are people waiting for bad news to befall you so that they will jump up in their rooms and say hooray and celebrate your failure. But God will disappoint them. Yeah. The predictions of your enemy will not come to pass. Yeah. I want you to rise up from today and begin to declare by faith and say, I know who I am in Christ. I know where I'm going in life. I am not confused in life. It may be hard today, but my hope is in Jesus. What man cannot do, my God can do it. Because I believe in God. His power is able to raise even the dead. Jesus was relaxed because he knew that this stone, this tomb, this signet, these soldiers, they can be here for so long. On the third day, in spite of all this, what I said and what I believe, it will come to pass. And on the third day, the soldiers were there. Pilate's signet was there. The signet says no human being should touch the grave. But you know that signet couldn't stop God from removing the stone. So there are things people can't do in your life, but God will do it for you. There are things God will do for you by himself, because he doesn't want anybody to take the credit for where you are and who you are. He will do it in your life. And on the third day, the Bible said, early in the morning, there was an earthquake. There was an earthquake. Then the angel of God descended, rolled the stone away. And Jesus rose from the dead. And when he rose, he folded all the clothes that were used to embalm. He folded them and put it down nicely. In fact, it was one of the things that Jesus used to convince the disciples that he had raised him. Because when they came and they saw the way the clothes were folded, maybe they are used to him. They stayed with him. Maybe John, the Bible says John was the closest to him. Maybe John knows how Jesus folds his clothes. So he left some evidence. When John entered the tomb, saw the food, he said, oh, the guy has risen. The guy has risen. God is about to do a work in your life. I want you to leave here this morning with hope in your heart. It's not as bad as you think. It's not as late as you think. God has not changed. His power has not changed. There is a system by which his power operates. There is a dynamics that causes his power to operate. And that is that you need to believe something and you need to speak it. And when you believe it and you speak it, you trigger his power in your direction. And this morning, I want you to leave here this morning resolved that you won't let circumstances dictate the future of your life. You won't let people control your future. You'd resolve that this morning as you leave here today, you put your future in your own hands. And you're going to go into the word of God and you're going to see what has he said about you. If you are a child of God, there's so much God has said about you that does not permit you to die ordinary, that does not permit you to remain in that situation you are in. There's so much God has said about you that give you a license to expect change in every situation of your life. I don't care what power is fighting you, what demon is against you. One thing I know is that the power of God is greater than the power of all demons. The power of God is stronger than the power of Satan. And the power of God will work in your life when you stop saying the negative things, when you stop glorifying your present circumstance, and you begin to prophesy your future. Because that is what God will bring to pass in your life. Rise up, everybody, and begin to speak and say, in the name of Jesus, I declare over my life, I believe in the promise of God. It surely come to pass. I am not a failure. God has a plan for my life. My future is greater than my present. My life is going somewhere. I shall not remain like this forever. In the name of Jesus, where I am now is only a matter of time. Whatever situation I'm in now is temporary. I know my God is well able to change my situation, to turn my story around. In the name of Jesus, I declare I shall not give up. I declare I shall not quit. I declare there is hope. There is hope for my life, my marriage. There is hope for my business, my career, my finances. There is hope for my life. There is hope for my children. Because of Jesus, there is hope for me. In the name of Jesus, I declare over my life, today, the resurrection power is at work in me. No power of Satan can hold me down. No power of darkness can keep me down. In the name of Jesus, I may be down today, but I'll be at the top tomorrow. Because I am the head and not the tail. In the name of Jesus, from today, I declare my future is getting better, is getting brighter. By the power of God, by the hand of God, by the grace of God, in the name of Jesus. I believe it, I receive it, and I have it now. In Jesus' name. If you believe it, clap for Jesus and give him some shout of praise in the house. Jesus said it, and it came to pass. When you say it, it will come to pass. Somebody say, I'm rich. I cannot be poor. I'm not hearing. Say, I cannot be poor. I cannot be in debt. I cannot be poor. I am rich and prosperous. I'm a multi-millionaire. I am the owner of properties. I am the owner of houses and lands. My business is expanding. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I am a global personality. In the name of Jesus. I am a mover and a shaker. In the name of Jesus. I am not a negative reference. In the name of Jesus. Shame and disgrace is not my portion. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. My life will be a reference. My life will be the example. My life will be the model. In my lifetime, my life will make news. My life will be a testimony. In the name of Jesus. 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 My children are great. My grandchildren are great. In the name of Jesus. My family is blessed. My marriage is good. My business is international. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. How many believe what you are saying? If you believe it, it will come to pass. I said, if you believe it, it will come to pass. If Satan is asking you all these big things you are saying, how is it going to happen? Tell him that is God's business. My business is to talk. God's business is to bring it to pass. When I say it, God will bring it to pass. When I keep quiet, God has nothing to do about my life. So today I declare by faith that my life is great. In the name of Jesus, I shall not die before my time. I'm not hearing you saying it. I shall not die before my time. No witch or wizard can kill me. In the name of Jesus, no witch or wizard can determine my future. In the name of Jesus, with long life, God will satisfy me. In the name of Jesus, I am healthy and strong. I am healthy and strong. I cannot be sick. Sickness and disease is not my portion. Sickness and disease is not my portion. I am healthy and strong. I will never be hospitalized. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God is my source. God is my provider. I can never lack. I can never lack. God is my source. God is my provider. I can never lack. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy abundance, prosperity over my life, over my home, over my children, over my family, over the work of my hands. In the name of Jesus, somebody clap for the Lord. We believe it and we declare it, and God will bring it to pass. I see you going forward. I see your life going forward. I see you in the future, and you look better than the way you are now. I see you in the future, and you look greater than the way you are now. I see you in the future, and your life is a wonder. Your life is a testimony. In the name of Jesus, what the enemy said about you will not come to pass. What people said about you will not happen. What God has said about you will come to pass. Somebody shout and say amen. Amen. Oh, somebody say one more time, say, I am rich and prosperous. One more time, say, I am rich and prosperous. You believe it? It will come to pass in your life. Shout it one more time, I am rich and prosperous. I cannot be poor. I cannot lack. I am rich and prosperous. I cannot be poor. I cannot lack. Do you believe it? I see it happening in your life. I see it happening in your life. I see it happening in your life. Somebody shout and say, I am not a failure. I cannot fail in life. I cannot fail in life. I am successful. I am great. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I am not a failure. I am the head and not a tail. I am the head and not a tail. I am ahead and not behind. I am on top and not under. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. How many of you believe it? It will come to pass in your life. It will come to pass in your life. Somebody shout and say, my marriage is blessed. My marriage is beautiful. My marriage is great. My marriage is good. My marriage is excellent. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. My marriage is blessed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Do you believe it? I see God making your marriage the best in your neighborhood. The devil is a liar. Anytime you hear the devil telling you something, remember what Jesus said about Satan. He said he is a liar and the father of lies. That means if he tell you are poor, it's a lie. If he tell you are going to die, it's a lie. If he tell you will never amount to anything, it's a lie. Anything the devil tells you is a lie. I said it's a lie. Turn to them and tell him it's a lie. He said what you hear from the devil is a lie. He told you will never marry, it's a lie. You are going to get married soon. He told you can never have children. It's a big lie. Because I see your children, they are very great. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to make a declaration with this. I want you to make a declaration with this. Jesus said he is a liar. John 8, verse 44. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. He said, you are of your father, the devil. He's not talking to you. He's talking to the Pharisees. And the desire of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. Why? For he is a liar and a father of lies. There is nothing Satan will tell you that is true. My question is, why do you believe the lie? Why do you believe the lie? There is nothing Satan will tell you that is true. Everything he says to you is a lie. All God tells you, everything about it is truth. Who do you believe? What do you believe? I believe in God's report concerning my life. And what does his word say? He said, I'm not a failure. Don't let exam certificate define you. Even if WAEC said you are failed, it doesn't mean you are a failure. Because your destiny is bigger than WAEC. I say your destiny is bigger than WAEC. How can you let WAEC define your future? How can you let WAEC determine your future? Haven't you seen people fail WAEC and became greater than the people working at WAEC? People working at WAEC. There are people richer than them who never passed WAEC. So I declare over your life, your future is greater than an exam certificate. In the name of Jesus. The devil told you, you will never amount to anything. It's a lie. It's a lie. Lift up 2 hands to heaven and say, Satan, Today, I reject all your lies against my life. I declare over my life, the word of God concerning my life will come to pass. I believe the report of God concerning my future. I believe in the report of God concerning my destiny. And I declare in the name of Jesus, what God has said about my life, it will come to pass. In the name of Jesus.
Hope you've been blessed by today's message. You can contact Reverend Hubert on 030-340-7970 or 024-331-1201. Remain blessed.